direct from the middle of nowhere to the center of everywhere. It's Beneath the Surface with Sean Murphy and Corey Cooper.
And we're back live again, man. How you doing again, Sean?
I'm doing awesome.
Sun's nice. Look at it. We had a nice
sun
little view.
Sun is setting and on Highway 98.
That's like two episodes in a row we've began with. That's like a country song.
It's like a country song. Sun is shining on Highway 98. It's not very busy. I'm going to pick my son's coming in town from, he and his girlfriend, they're TikTokers and YouTubers. They live in L.A.
Isn't that illegal now? Didn't Trump ban it?
I don't think so, man. But anyway, they have an ungodly amount of people that watch them. Like, what did I say earlier?
35 million
people. Anyway, they're coming in town. They were in Miami visiting her parents, and now they're flying here. I'm picking them up in Pensacola in a couple hours. I'm really excited. I haven't seen them in a while. So they're going to come here. And
what are you going to take them to do?
Well, they've given me a list. She's such a nice girl, and she wants to paddleboard, obviously. So that's her main thing. She keeps bugging me. I want to paddle. I don't think she even knew that I worked I got you covered.
Does she know how to paddleboard?
I don't know.
See?
But she grew up on the water, but she doesn't look like a paddleboard. But who knows? But certainly, if she doesn't, she'll learn real quick. It's not hard.
And that's what this episode is about,
by the way.
Isn't
that cool? See how we just did that?
It's a good little segue.
They want to go to Vortex Springs. Yep. They want to paddleboard. They want to ride Pedego bikes out on 30A. And they want to go down Turkey Creek. And they're going to make lots of YouTube and TikTok videos here.
And there'll be 8 billion people that see them.
Well, between the two of them, there's 55 million.
Holy crap,
or 60 million people.
It's insane.
Yeah. It's pretty cool.
It's insane. At the same time, I think I would be terrified.
I don't know that
60 million people knew what I was doing. Well, in fact, I get terrified when 6 people know what I'm doing.
I don't like it either. I freak out when I go to Publix and someone that I don't know personally knows me just from being on, working with you or being on a video or something. But my son worked at AJ's, which is a big seafood restaurant here, last summer, and he was kind of already into the TikTok. And, they would send him home early because they couldn't get work done because all the tables would want to take their picture with him. And that's just off TikTok.
That's insane. I feel like an old coot now.
Oh, me too. Me too. Well, I'm older than you, dude. So, but that's just the way of the world. I'm going to embrace it and, maybe learn some cool things from my son this week and get to watch them work. And I'm pretty excited,
Yeah. So I'll let you follow up on that thought here in 1 second. Thanks to you guys for tuning in for another episode of our Beneath the Surface podcast. You're getting a good matte finish look at the underside, the underbelly of the boat inner workings here. Kind of the idea behind our podcast was just to give people an insight, kind of a lens that removed some of the filter, the glitz and glamour, and showed you guys how we really do things. I think it's a cool way for us to reach out and touch and vice versa for everybody to get kind of insights into what we do. Now, that being said, one of the things that I think maybe even on our podcast we've never touched on, we don't touch on a lot, is how do people get interested and how do people know that they can do this? And what I mean by do this, particularly on the stand-up paddleboard side, is repeatedly, and I don't know if we're just not doing a good enough job or if we make it look hard, people always ask, I can't do that. How can I do that? Can I do that? Right? That's the first question. If it's on our customer surveys or whatever, people ask that. Well, I'm going to ask you, Sean, because you're less ignorant to the fact than I am. But what is it?
I think it's a few things. Now, I'll use myself as an example. Before I met you, I had never paddleboarded. And I've been surfing since I was a young kid and skateboarding and all these other things, but I'd never paddleboarded. And did a shoot for you, brought a paddleboard to my mom's house. My mom is 70 years old. My mom jumped right on it. Of course, she's fearless 70-year-old anyway, but she had a little, trepidation and
was a little apprehensive.
And then she jumped on it. And my 70-year-old mom is paddleboards every day. Her husband. I mean, so I was like...
Yeah, but she doesn't have any superhuman skills.
No, she could... And she's 7 years old, and she, and this is before our boards got really light. This is, you know, 8-9 years ago. She was carrying my heavy fishing HD down by herself, which she can do because it's ergonomically
right.
set up right. So it really is, you know, I think that here's another thing. I think that a lot of people, when you see a picture of a paddleboarder on, say, Instagram or Facebook or an ad, pretty much across the board, generally, I think most people see fit people.
Yep.
And so that one thing about paddleboarding is you can be at any kind of fitness level. And because of the muscles that you use, there's two good things. Because of the, it's like almost like swimming. Like anyone can swim, and it's really, it's good on your body. It's good on your joints.
Yep.
It's not, it doesn't hurt
it's
you.
It's not impactful.
It's not like you're jogging at the beach or doing push-ups. And the other thing I'll tell you,
which is, by the way, hurts me like hell.
Right yeah, now. Yeah, with that old shoulder.
Ugh.
But paddleboarding also, well, you will see, and I'm not pushing this kind of whole like fitness thing, but I've seen numerous times, including myself, where I've paddled for like a week straight and I haven't seen somebody in a minute, and they'll go, man, did you lose weight? Have you been working out? I'm like, no, because it's all core exercise, but it's low impact.
Yep.
So you're really working out all the key parts of your body that are, that, you know, you gain weight around your midsection or your shoulders and your chest. And this works all that, your stomach muscles, all core. It's easy. I mean, it really truly is like a sport for everyone.
You hit on the nail on the head. I think the biggest thing that most people think, and it's what, I mean, quite frankly, it's why I started the business. It's what I wanted to address, is that it's not stable. You know, I don't know if it's people, and people come from all over the, don't get me wrong, people come from everywhere in the country. They buy these all over. And so there's different water conditions. There's different water temperatures. There's different species of animals that live in the water. But, you know, particularly here in Florida, where the water's warm 95% of the time, I don't, and I guess personally, I don't understand why the stability has been kind of a worry. You know, what's the worst case scenario? You fall off.
Yeah.
Now, speaking to that, though, it is a huge concern, right? And I don't know if people, when they're standing on it, think they're going to fall into the water and hit their head, or, you know, lose the board and fall off and never be able to get back on. But to me, one of the coolest things about a stand-up paddleboard is the fact, particularly ours, that they are stable when standing on, compared to, like, if you try to stand up in a canoe, you know, really, really tippy. Same thing with a kayak, you know, not the massive wide ones, but stand-ups, you know, our brand, our boards are insanely stable for when matched properly to your size.
Yeah, I mean, we do have, we were in the race scene a little bit. We have some thinner, more high-performance boards, which are a little less stable, but they're made for racing or long-distance paddling. But
like the Travelers right now is probably the least.
That's our least stable, but that's one out of 50 boards.
Yep.
Every other board is, you know, and I just saw one of our new Breeze Gator Shell boards that are coming out soon that are these really cool. They're even a little wider. And you know the one I'm talking about, and I was like, man, that's really cool. Like, it's a little shorter and a little wider. I thought, man, I hadn't seen that design yet, and I was really excited about it. I was just imagining my dog, my basset hound on it, and all in a full track. And so, you know, that's my pitch. And like, I never ever worry. Like, now I have a few paddle boards at my mom's house. Kids will visit, the grandkids, from all over walks of life. And that is the go-to activity when people come into town for me. I take them paddling,
man,
and I take them down creeks, and I take them to the springs, and never have had anyone have an issue. Now, if you can't swim at all, you might want to take a look at that. But
yeah. Well, and look, in that note, if you can't swim at all and you're on the water, in a boat or in anything.
I wouldn't be on a boat if I couldn't swim.
I mean, look, obviously on stand-up paddle boards, you know, life jackets, PFDs are required to be on a board. You know, we sell the belt packs, you know, for people that want to fall in. The biggest help for me personally is a leash. I mean, if you're just attached to your board, your board is the biggest PFD on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
It's a giant, floating, permanently buoyant, particularly the non-inflatable ones. And there's really nothing to worry about there, you know? Hey, in the summertime, falling in is fun. Jumping in is fun. It feels good. You know what I mean? And so in terms of just on the front side of these questions, the stability and the can I do it, you're right. I mean, I haven't personally seen an individual, right, that let's just say wasn't disabled, that hasn't been able to do this in one form or another. It's lighter than a kayak. So everybody out there thinking, well, kayaks are easier, I'm sitting down. Well, these weigh like 1/4 what a bigger kayak weighs, you know, in terms of getting it to the water. They're, like I said, starting with our Rackham. Now, the Rackham's not the lightest board we make. It's actually the heaviest board we make. It's the most stable, though. You know, the 14-foot, 12-foot Rackham.
That's what I fish on.
Yeah, they're hugely stable for fishing. They're great for anybody of any skill level. I mean, whether you're a beginner, you want to be a fisherman, you want to use it to paddle long distances and go for an expedition, they're great platforms. So is the inflatable Rackham. Same deal there. That is the most stable board we make.
You can walk around on that board like you're on land.
Yeah, pretty much.
You know?
It's like a dock almost.
It is like a dock.
Next, you got the HD. The HD is incredibly stable as well. It's a little shorter than the Rackham, a little narrower. It's, like I said, it's a great flagship. If somebody's looking for something to basically, you air quotes, using the all-in-one, the HD is pretty good, man. It's like middle ground in weight, higher up on stability and buoyancy, you know, to float more weight and stuff like that and some of our other boards. Compared to our, you know, competition on the market, I mean, it's from the displacement hole and the way that it glides through the water, makes paddling easy, great core exercise, super stable, you know, and there you can accessorize the hell out of them and do whatever you want to with them.
This might be also a good segue into find your board.
Oh, I wasn't even thinking about that.
Look at that.
Look at you.
Yeah.
So, Sean, good point. We just recently launched a find your board quiz on our website. It's on the homepage right now. And the idea behind this was to help those people that don't necessarily know what board to use, to give them a resource, a digital resource. And the reason we came... It's not like it's an overwhelming idea. Everybody's like, wow, you should. Yeah, of course. Car finder, board finder.
This is great.
But it's a derivative from our retail stores, because the first thing when somebody comes into our retail store, mentally and visually, the salesperson can size someone up. Not in a stereotypical kind of way,
yeah.
But you know what questions to ask, mm-hmm. right? So, for example, I can see if you pull up in a car, right? Because if you've got a car and you don't have roof racks, one of two things are going to have to happen. You're going to have to buy an inflatable, or you're going to have to buy roof racks to carry around a hard board.
Right.
Right? Mm-hmm. You know, you can also size someone up. So when somebody walks in, you can look at their size, their weight, and you can kind of assume some skill levels in terms of what kind of board to steer people towards. So there's all these visual things that are presented to a salesman that don't necessarily have to be asked.
Right.
Or assumed. That's another challenge on the website. We can't really assume any of that stuff, you know, when you're coming to our site, like just optically sizing you up. I'm sure in the future, in the next 5 years, seriously, you'll have browser profiles and all this kind of stuff that boom, people just know from social media. But we're not getting that deep into the data yet in terms of, you know, extracting from social media. So you got those few things. If our retail store associates are trained up properly, the first question they ask someone is, what are you looking to do? You know what I mean? Like, what do you want to do with it? There's a reason you're interested. So what do you want to do? And that question is meant to draw out what your interests are. Are you going to be casually paddling? You know, are you going to be fishing? Are you going to be paddling with friends, paddling with your kids, your dogs,
yoga,
you know, and then the next question is like, well, what's your experience level? Have you done it before? Have you ever tried it? You know, are you new to it? So you're getting kind of you're painting a nice picture to try to help somebody get on the best possible paddleboard for them. Then there, as we go further down, both in our retail store and online in our quiz, it starts asking you some information that might feel personal. What's your height? What's your weight? Well, these are important characteristics to understand for future things like stability, you know, capacity, like what board to give you for buoyancy, things of that sort. And again, in retail store, we ask them. You've probably seen people. It's important, by the way, to get a board that fits you right. Right?
Mm-hmm.
I've been saying the statement, we've been talking about, it's easy to do. It is. You got to have the right board.
Yeah, I got a buddy that I fish with, and he fishes on a 12-foot rack. I fish on a 14-foot rack. I'm a skinny guy. I'm 176 pounds. This guy is about 220, and he's riding a 12-foot rack with all his stuff on, and it's kind of like he struggles a little bit. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just he should have got the 14 instead of the 12. So it is important that, you know,
Well, great example. So our HDs come in two sizes, 10-6 and a 12-foot, right? You and I weigh about the same. Mm-hmm. We're honestly ideal situation because it's hard to go wrong. I mean, you could pick a 10-6 or a 12-foot. It just depends on, for me personally, like how agile, what am I willing to give? Do I want the agility and small size and more storability? Or do I want the larger size and more capacity? I'm lucky. Now, if I was, you know, 180 up, I'm going 12-foot, period. If I'm basically lighter than me, you know, 155 down, I'm going 10-6 just because it's going to be more fun board.
Right.
And so that's where kind of that weight selection comes into play on our website and sizing the board right. Because if you're an inexperienced paddler, I will tell you, as an inexperienced paddler, the bigger the board you get, the easier it's going to be in the beginning. However, the downside is you're going to overcome that uncomfortable phase real quick. Mm-hmm. So you're going to acclimate to the board in less than a week. So don't overbuy to the extent that you're no longer having fun with the board once you acclimate to it. That makes sense?
Yep.
You know what I'm referring to there?
Oh, yeah.
Because if you, like, for example, if you wanted just all-out stability, you're going to be getting the Rackham Arrow. But it's a little slower. It's bigger. It's heavier.
Yep.
Then, say, for example, the Breeze Arrow that's got... It's got a solid ground of everything. You've got weight. It's lightest in weight. It's got middle capacity, middle stability, you know, in terms of, I'm saying middle as in kind of where it lies in our brand. But it's one of those things you can acclimate quickly, and then the board you're on is more fun.
I use a 12-foot board for fishing in the bayou because I can maneuver around docks and it's more nimble. And I use a 14-foot Rackham in the bays in the Gulf.
Yep.
Because of water conditions and other things. But
and it also applies on what you want to do.
Yeah.
If you're going to fish all the time and you want to, like, I'm with you, man. 14-foot Rackham is like a damn mothership.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
Like, you know what you're doing. You know that's what you're going to use it for. Just do it, right? Conversely, if you're interested in, you know, just casual paddling, you know, with your kids, it's something, like, for example, you're talking about the 12-foot HD. If you're 180, you know you want to add a cooler. You know you want to have some, you know, your dog on it every now and then. Just go bigger, man. Just give yourself the room to add more things to the board. If you just want to have fun and not put a whole lot on it, know that in advance too. You know, or, you know, excuse me, trying to suck down some water talking so much. Again, if you want to accessorize and add other things, go larger in anticipation of doing that. So finishing up on the board finder thing you and I were talking about. The last few questions are one of them is what's most important to you in terms of features. And we don't really ask it from like a rate it perspective. We just want to know out of five different things, what's your most important feature? And the reason we do that is because you've answered a lot of questions beforehand, whether it's, you know, where you're going to be paddling, for example. The question right before is where to paddle. And let's touch on that briefly. We offer lakes, coastal bays and waterways, and then the ocean, the surf. As you know, those are three completely different kind of equations of where you can actually use your boards. And there's a lot of difference. Like, for example, being in the surf and paddling in the surf is way more challenging.
Yep.
I mean, dude, talk about when you were shooting out in California. Dude, tell me out and surf in California.
California, is hard anyway. It's cold. You have to paddle through the surf. I drifted off a little while ago when we were talking, and I was reflecting because we were talking about how easy it is. I used to fish off the kelp paddies off of, if anyone knows California, like Leo Carrillo area, and it's sharky. Oof. And it's deep, and there's kelp paddies like a mile offshore. I would paddle out there in my jeans and a sweater and fully loaded down on a 12-foot, my 12-foot Realtree HD.
Yeah, buddy, old school.
And I would be out there, and I have fallen off a couple times you know, hooking up to fish, catching a side swell, whatever, the water's like, you know, 60 degrees, it's cold, it's a little scary. But, you know,
well, dude, and there's fish that could eat you whole out there.
Great whites. Oh, I have a good great white story, but you'll hear that later. I'll save that.
You're going to save it?
From recently, from like a couple weeks ago. But anyway, you know, that was kind of a dumb scenario. I shouldn't be out there in jeans. I don't think in a sweater on an HD.
We need to do a podcast with Magda and talking about, you know, what to wear while paddling. That's another thing.
It is a thing.
You know, it's definitely a thing because there's, dude, I've worn everything from waterproof snake boots.
You and I have been on some shoots where it's been, you know, 30 degrees and I'm asking you to paddle out in like snow gear, basically.
I just dress
for hunting, like, gear, guns, and
it's like, dude, it's like everything, man. Dressing for the occasion. You know what I mean? Like, knowing, you also got to know your skill level and what your risks are.
Point being, though, we've been in a lot of scenarios, and I know I have when my skill level was not that great. And this goes to show you how stable these boards are, because I've worn my work boots and jeans in Canada with Rafe, my wife. We were in Canada one time, and there's a picture of me, sweater, jeans, work boots, paddling out somewhere in Canada, and it was ice cold water. There's like orcas and stuff, and you know, and I didn't even have a fear in the world that I was going to fall off. And
it's like riding a bike, man.
It is. It's not that hard. It's easy. Just have some common sense.
And I'm writing this down right now.
What? Or shoot with orcas?
No.
work boots?
I'll tell you offline. Because on some SEM stuff, you know, as it relates, can you read that?
Hold on. Let me put my spectacles on.
Come on.
Yeah, it is.
That's going to accompany pictures.
That's a great ad.
And
see how we just did that?
Dude. That's
when we get together. That's when it all happens.
I got two of them down. Actually, I wrote when we were talking about this, but I had to make a note real instantaneously because
that's a good one.
It is what it is. But anyways, just kind of summarizing around on this thing. You know, if you guys are listening to this, if there's any people, you know, we've probably got a lot of crazies. I'm not calling the people crazy. I'm talking about people that listen to us. You're crazy if you listen to us for a long period of time. But we've got a lot of people that probably are familiar with paddling that like to listen to our stories, and maybe a lot of you that don't. So, you know, hopefully this has been helpful, just kind of giving you some of our background information on it. And the overarching narrative, this sport wouldn't be so popular if it wasn't easy.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. You can make it hard. You can make it as hard as you want. Like our buddy Pete, he'll paddle a 21-inch red board. That's freaking hard. Don't do it. Yeah. It's not smart.
Hey, remember, I know we got to wrap this up. Remember, you made a board for when our guy Ethan went across the Everglades. That thing was about 10 feet long. No, it was about 13 12, inches.
6, 12, 6. 24, he had to paddle 100 miles a million
with
pounds.
With two machetes. At where his feet go, there's two machete sheaths, one on either. He paddled it 100 miles.
Machete sheaths.
Oh, God. With, like, water, like 50 pounds of water on the back. The thing was, like, sinking. Anyway, he didn't fall. Hey, and also, another side note, if anyone has any ideas for us, contact Susie Hunt at Susie@boatboard.com. Susie@boatboard.com.
Hey, let's just finish up with the board finder though. Look, hey, if you're trying to get a board for yourself, or even like your husband, wife, boyfriend, girlfriend, mom, dad, just go to our board finder and use their stuff. And if, you know, it gives you four options at the end of taking the board finder, you know, one being the best option, and they're filtered by particularly like at the end when you answer, you know, oh, stability, oh, price. Take it a few times if you just to see what the answers compare, you know, like once you select different variables. It's pretty cool. It's meant to be a good resource and tool. So hopefully it works for you guys. We're going to continue this kind of educational series for a few more podcasts. Let us know. Give us some feedback on our social media. What is it? Hashtag boatboards. I'm not an Instagram, Twitter, or a thing guy. I don't
hashtag Susie Hunt.
Just find Sean personally and give him hell.
You can always get a hold of me at Murphy Photo and ask me questions. I'm really good. I always get back to people. I'm easy to get to.
He's too good. You're too good, Sean. All right. Well, thanks for the time today, Sean. Looking forward to our next one. You guys stay tuned for more crazy stuff to come.